great to have you this morning.
I wanted to read a story for you. And this story is called The Very Hungry Caterpillar. And thank you so much for sharing that with me. Thank you. The Very Hungry Caterpillar. In the light of the moon, a little egg lay on a leaf. Can you see where the egg is?
Where's the egg?
Yeah. A little egg lay by a leaf. One Sunday morning, the warm sun came up, and pop, out of the egg came a very tiny and a very hungry caterpillar. He started to look for some food. On Monday, he ate through one apple, but he was still hungry. On Tuesday, he ate through two pears, but he was still hungry. On Wednesday, he ate through three plums, but he was still hungry. On Thursday, he ate through four strawberries, but he was still hungry. Oh, what a hungry caterpillar. On Friday, he ate through five oranges, but he was still hungry. On Saturday, he ate through one piece of chocolate cake, one ice cream cone, a pickle, slice of Swiss cheese, a slice of salami, a lollipop, piece of cherry pie, sausage, cupcake, and one slice of watermelon. And that night, he had a stomach ache. The next day was Sunday again, and the caterpillar ate through one nice green leaf. And after that, he felt much better. Look, he ate the leaf. Yeah. Now he wasn't hungry anymore, and he wasn't a little caterpillar anymore. He was a great big fat caterpillar. And he built a small house called a cocoon around himself. He stayed inside for more than 2 weeks. Then he nibbled a hole in the cocoon, pushed his way out, and look, he was a beautiful butterfly. Beautiful butterfly. So see how he changed? Yeah. He changed into a beautiful butterfly. Yeah. The story I just read is about Jesus telling us about our need to change, to grow up, and to learn to love him back and to love each other. I'm just going to say a little prayer. Dear God, help us not to stay the same. Help us to be changed, to learn to love you back and love each other and become all that you want us to be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That's right. Thank you very much for coming up. Can I give this back? And I'll share that back with you. Let's just bow our heads for a minute, please. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the good news, the scriptures, and help us to take in what we hear. Help us to hear not only with our ears, but in our hearts and minds. Help us to respond to your love and goodness shown through Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. Now, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, Jesus said to Nicodemus. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. That's John 3:6. A childhood friend of mine, Jane Ray, here's one of her pictures. I couldn't actually find a picture of Jane herself. But when she was a student, she boarded with a woman. And Jane is a Christian, and she loves the Lord, and she loves his church. But Jane's landlady at the time clearly was not a Christian, and she would often tease Jane and ridicule her because of what Jane believed. "There you go with your blind faith again," the landlady would say. It was never faith by itself. It was always blind faith. Was the landlady speaking truth? Is faith blind or not? Today, among our Bible readings, we're invited to consider John chapter 3. Let's look at the evidence from the Lord himself. Now, there are some Christians who believe that you can prove that God exists, just like
showing the end of a math puzzle. One example is Thomas Aquinas. And I can't find any old pictures of people smiling. The picture of my great-grandparents, you look as if they just kind of gotten shot or something. Anyway, this is the most cheerful picture I could find of Thomas of Aquinas. A brilliant man. And he wrote that creation itself is a proof of a creator. Of course there's a creative God, he wrote. Look at the world around us. How can one deny the existence of a living God? That's his view. Another kind of slightly grumpy picture, a man named Anselm of Canterbury. And here, this is now, if for those of us who want a puzzle, here it is. Anselm wrote that God is greater than anything we could ever imagine. Well, someone who's just in our imaginations is smaller than the reality. And so Anselm said, there's proof that the God is a living reality around us. So there are some Christians who've chosen to try and prove that God exists, like solving a math puzzle. But most Christians would agree we need to have faith to believe. Jesus put it this way on the night of his betrayal. Believe in God, believe also in me. John 14:1. Was Jane's landlady right? Is faith blind? Being a follower of Jesus Christ does not mean that we need to have to turn off our minds. There's good evidence to back up what we believe. For instance, there are hundreds of millions of people around the world and through history who believe in Christ once the good news has been presented to them. Could they all be crazy or deluded? It's possible, but not likely. Others point to the power of the Scriptures. Countless Christians have found the Bible to point to the reality of God in our lives, of our disobedience, of the gift of Jesus Christ himself. And taken as a whole, the Bible has a coherence which speaks deep into our hearts and has the power to change lives. So for many, this is further evidence of God's reality. And if we have confidence in that the Bible reveals Jesus, we can't write off Jesus' revolutionary teachings, his divine mercy, his miraculous healings. Most of all, we can't write off the evidence that Jesus Christ rose again after death. So Jesus Christ himself is powerful evidence of a living God of our universe and in our lives. One more piece of evidence is the testimony of ordinary people of the experience of their experience of God in their everyday lives. There's a story that one day William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, was preaching in Hyde Park in London, the UK. And there was a heckler in the crowd who cried out to General Booth, "How do you know God is real?" And without missing a beat, Booth replied, "I know God is real because I was talking to him this morning." Faith is not blind. There is powerful evidence of the reality of a mighty living God who has revealed himself and who has transformed the world through his Son, Jesus Christ. But there still needs to be that step in our lives of taking the promises and daring to believe that they are true. That process varies among people, among all people. For many of us, that journey to faith is a process over months or even years. For others, it was a sudden confrontation. For some of us, we have a deep sense of our failures and our desperate need for God. For others, the process of repentance comes later. But however we get there, we need to come to a point where we dare to say yes in our hearts to the wonderful invitation of life in Jesus Christ. And this process of daring to respond to God's invitation is illustrated in today's gospel reading from John 3. A man named Nicodemus approaches Jesus by night, to talk with him. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. We often think of the Pharisees as that they were hostile to Jesus and his message, and many of them were. But when we read the New Testament, it's not so straightforward. Nicodemus seems to have been a thoughtful man. And Nicodemus can see that somehow Jesus is honoring God in his life. Nicodemus is afraid of being seen with Jesus during the day. So Nicodemus sneaks up at night. He's intrigued, and he wants to know more. Let's pay attention to people on the edges of our lives. God might want to use us to help them see. Let's not judge people because they're timid or afraid or concerned about their social position. We want to make it safe for people to explore. For example, years ago, a parishioner was talking with me, and he was talking about gays and lesbians. And then he stopped. And he was testing me how I would respond, if it was safe to go further. A judgmental response would have stopped him. But a gentle response allowed him to talk about his own deep struggle, his same-sex attraction, although he was married to his wife. We need to give space to people in our lives who are searching, or hurting, or timid. Don't judge the Nicodemuses because they ask quiet questions at night. Treat genuine searchers with dignity, as the Lord Jesus did. The Lord explains to Nicodemus that just as there is physical life following physical birth, there is spiritual life following spiritual birth. We need to be born anew, or again, spiritually, just as we were physically. So we can see that the Lord wants us to have this new spiritual life, responding to the good news of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we know if we have a life of faith? Here's an analogy which might be helpful. Some of us have fallen in love, or we have a wonderful, deep friendship with someone. Some people can remember the exact details of their first date, or the first time we meet a new friend. Or we remember our wedding day. For some of us, it's a little more vague. We can't remember the exact time, but we know there was a process. We know we've been changed by the friendship we have with someone else. And we know that our lives are richer by the relationships we have. That's also true with the relationship with God through Jesus Christ. When we dare to believe, the process varies, but we know that we love the other and that we're richer for it, and we don't want this friendship to end. If anything, we want love to be deeper and richer. There's good evidence to believe in the living God revealed through Jesus Christ. There is a cost to being a mature disciple, but it's well worth it. And we're invited to join in this amazing, mysterious journey to have lives of faith. And if we do, wonderful. Press on. But if there happens to be someone here who's not sure, but is willing to try, please join me just silently in this prayer. Dear God, we're sorry for the wrong things we've done in our lives. And we pray for forgiveness and renewal. Dear God, thank you for the love you show us supremely through your Son Jesus and his gift to us. Please fill every corner of our lives. Help us to live joyfully and peacefully in you. Fill us with your Spirit that we may live for you now and forever. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen.